This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Boog Shambi.
My grandparents were going on a cruise. I was six. And I said, you know, so what's this cruise thing? Well, you get on a big boat and there's lots of food and we dance and we gamble and it's amazing. And when it was finally done, the explanation of the cruise, I had one question and it was, how do you get the box fort? And my grandfather said, you don't. And I said, well, then I'm never going on a cruise.
God, USA Today and the local paper, they don't even put box scores in anymore. You notice that? It's not that freaking hard, is it? Jesus Christ.
Fun fact, never been on a cruise.
Me neither, Boog. They scare me. Like, what do you mean I can't leave?
We should take a trip. Maybe a cruise.
Yes, a cruise. A long cruise.
How can I go on a cruise without my cabana wear? I love those... was close.
We should solicit getting a cruise sponsorship for this segment. Don't you think?
I love that idea.
We could get like Boog Shambi brought to you by Norwegian Cruise Line.
I'll never go.
I will never go, but you should.
You should go. I'm not gonna go.
I will never go. Carnival Cruise Lines. It's like a giant party, a carnival. I'm not going, but you can.
My dad's at that really cool place in his life where he says things that are true that provide relief to no one. And he goes, your mother and I are going on a cruise. And I go, okay, have fun. And I ask him, I go, which cruise line? And he goes, Carnival. And I'm like, wait, isn't that like the party cruise? And my dad's response, I swear on my children, was, buddy, there's no other way to say it. I love watching black people have fun.
What? I mean, we all do, but to say it out loud?
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
I got to tell you, those videos that you see where the lone white person ends up in like the circle of joy with black people on cruises is one of my favorite genres when I'm scrolling through reels.
Oh, that's amazing. And it's true in the musician sense too. I was just looking at this band Soul Coughing that came up in my algorithm today, and I've always been a big fan. I was on the drummer's website, and like a photo that he posted was him backstage with like 9 black people, and he's the only guy, and he's smiling and having a good time.
It's a beautiful thing. It truly is. Welcome, welcome, welcome in to the Spiegel and Holmes show. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hi, everybody.
He is on probation today.
Let's be careful.
We're watching him very closely.
By the way, can I just tell you that the only team without a loss in spring training baseball is the Cubs, and the only team without a win in spring training baseball is the White Sox.
Who the hell cares?
I just had to tell you, Tanny. I needed it known. That's all. It may end by the end of today, since they're both playing.
You are the first person to point that out, by the way.
Am I?
So thank you for letting us know.
Incorrect, actually. Speaks. Morning Show pointed it out. So is that where you got it from? Is that where you got that little nugget from, David?
Nope.
Mr. David?
Nope. Didn't get it there. Well, morning, Dave.
To be fair.
Morning, David.
Speaks doesn't have his own network.
This is true.
David has a whole network of people that are doing all sorts of stat gathering everything else. Him.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a flop house somewhere where he gets a little downtime in the middays.
Yeah, he's doing really well. He's got a parking space at the United Center because it's his network.
Damn. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, it is.
Good way to get it done.
I mean, he works there, too, so I mean, that's why you have it. You kind of need it if you're going to work there.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff. Here's what we got planned for you on today's show. We will talk Ben's vision at 3 o'clock. We will go into the center position, although there's another position on the Bears' offensive line, and we will get to you in just a second. We're going to talk with Bruce Levine at 3:40. Well, Speaks is. Chris Emma is going to be on the show as well at 5 o'clock today. We'll talk to him about everything that's going on at the Combine. A little bit of baseball thrown in today's show as well. But the sad news for Bears fans who were dreaming is that at least right now, that dream needs to be deferred. Not denied necessarily, but deferred.
I think denied is probably looking likely.
That's the probable outcome of this. But we have seen them do this before where they end up trading someone. Trey Smith has been the Chiefs have notified Trey Smith and his camp that they plan to franchise tag him.
March 4th is the deadline. The window opened up last week. So they've notified him. So if he's franchised at a cost of, I think it's $23.8 million for 1 year, that gives them time to hold on to him. And they could either sign him like the Bears did with Jalen Johnson last year, a tag and negotiate and eventually sign.
Which would be in their best interest because they've already kind of got some cap issues. So you want to turn some of that into bonus money.
And I sadly think that's overwhelmingly likely because he apparently loves it there. Creed Humphrey's like his best friend.
If I'm Patrick Mahomes, he's not leaving.
Yeah, Mahomes absolutely adores him. And I would say that's overwhelmingly likely. But to your point, last year, they tagged Legarius Sneed, the cornerback, and ended up trading him. So you tag and hold on to him and then try to work it out. And if you can't work it out, then you can trade. But they had another real good young corner in McDuffie, so they felt like they could let go of Sneed. I don't think this is that kind of situation.
I don't either. I think the position importance is a little bit different.
Which is weird to say because you'd think corner over guard historically.
Historically, right. And in most situations, yes. But with the situations that the Chiefs find themselves in, they can't let go of any more good offensive linemen. That's something that's got to get fixed if you're Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Now, it looks like this will reset the market in free agency for guards. Because I think the highest paid guard last year got paid an AAV of about 21.
And we figured Trey was going to set the market and bump it up, and he probably will, even after the showing against the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
And it's kind of weird because most players don't want to be tagged. But if you're tagged, similar to the Jalen Johnson situation, if you're tagged, but you know that the organization they're negotiating in good faith on an extension. It isn't just, yeah, we tagged you. We're totally going to work out a deal, knowing that they really only want you for one more year, and they're just going to use that to keep you for the 1 year. This seems to fit the category, was he 25, of you want that guy long term. This is really just something that you can use to buy time to figure out how to make it work.
You mentioned we're going to talk about centers at the top of the hour as part of Ben's vision, but Ben Johnson, at the Combine was talking about the interior of the offensive line and was talking about whether a team could be rebuilt on the interior of the offensive line in 1 year. And he's an emphatic yes on that.
Yeah, I think it's been done before, right? I mean, I think there's a number of teams that did that last year. The Panthers come to mind when they went out in free agency and got a couple top guards and really changed the dynamic of their offense. And you saw them clicking there in the second half of the season once they started to really gel. So there's no question that you can change the dynamic of a room just like that. That particular room, it does take a little bit of time for five guys to come together, especially if you have to deal with the attrition and the injuries.
I saw that getting some pushback on social media, like, don't reference the Panthers, bro. And I hope people were watching because it's incredibly obvious in everything that he says that Ben Johnson was, and he was watching. The Panthers were a completely remade team by season's end. And they were running the hell out of the ball. Chuba Hubbard got a brand new contract, and deservedly so.
Averaged almost 5 yards a carry.
And Bryce Young's life was made far more manageable. And he showed incredible strides in the second half of the year.
Sure did. Roll Tide.
In large part, though, due to the fact that they found an identity as a running team.
I would think that Bears fans would have saw it up close. Remember, wasn't that like the first play from scrimmage that he busted for a touchdown run? And then the Bears went on to clobber them.
That's a game I was at Soldier Field. The Bears beat the bejesus out of him. And if maybe that's in Bears fans' mind. Like, oh, they can't do anything, whatever. But they found an identity as a running team and found some flow by the end of the season. So that is a sensible thing.
Yeah, and it's okay to kind of pull out different groups, like positional groups, and be like, the positional group was better, the team was bad. I'll give you an example. The Bears defensive backs as a positional group,
very good.
Really good. Yep. The team's bad.
Very bad. I'm a yes and a yes. So the pivot at guard, you got to start looking deeper on that list, and we have, and we will. Mekhi Becton, the former tackle, and a guy who just won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, having been moved inside.
He's a big man.
He's a big, big man. Obviously, Tevin Jenkins, the former Bear, who I think is going to stay a former Bear, frankly.
Yeah, let's talk this through a little bit, because I think Shane and I are in agreement that if you can bring Tevin back on a minimal deal with a whole boatload of incentives, it would be great. But I don't see that happening. Tanny brought up an excellent point. The market is going to allow for Tevin Jenkins to probably get more money than what he might get as a Bear.
Don't you think Tevin is ready for something else?
If I were Tevin, I would be.
I think he's very much ready for something else.
I wish him a lot of luck. And like, that's the type of guy where you go, man, I just wish. And he's not gone yet. He's not out the door.
Yeah.
But that's a guy that you go, I wish it would have worked for him here.
The guy that I want is Kevin Zeitler. The former Lion, he's 34 now. I know he's older, but he was real good last year. He was sixth best guard in all of the NFL, even just last year, at 34. And you get him for a year or maybe two. And oh, by the way, he will teach everybody the way that Ben Johnson wants things done on the offensive line.
I think that's a reasonable idea of an addition. They're also clearly going to be, I would be surprised if they didn't use two of those top three picks that they have on offensive line.
I want them to. Absolutely. I'm right there with you. I think you'll see three new starters on the offensive line, maybe two picks and a free agent, or two free agents and a pick, however that's going to work out. And the center conversation that we'll have at the top of the hour will inform that greatly.
Yeah, we're going to go inside that and discuss it. Ben's vision, we like to do this. But there's another thing, a news story that could affect the Bears.
Your guy might be coming back to you.
We'll explain how a player can drop in the draft and why that could end up being beneficial to you next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Mitchell Evans, the motion man, pressure from Carter. There is Aeneas Williams, and he got the first down and got out of bounds. And Jelly just seems as cool as can be. He had to contest with a high snap, did well to handle it, but that threw off the whole play. And Abdul Carter got there for the third Lions sack. Price remains the running back on a delay. He's in trouble, and it's Abdul Carter there.
One of the best defensive players in the country.
And he might be coming to a defensive line near you.
A boy can dream. Tell people why you love Abdul Carter so much, Lawrence Holmes.
He's violent at the point of attack. He is fast around the edge. He gets to the quarterback. He's got a move and a counter move. He is the exact type of player that you would love to have on the opposite side of your defensive line from our guy. And he's fierce.
Oh, man. And if you'd never watched him before, as I said yesterday, you turn on the national title game and you're like, who's the Micah Parsons guy? Who's that guy? I'd like him, please. And it's Abdul Carter, who played his ass off and might go number one overall. Or might he slip, as there is this stress fracture in his foot. This news came out yesterday. Today we get the news that he's not going to have surgery, but that it was on the table and the doctors have advised him against it. Drew Rosenhaus saying, I couldn't be more confident that this will be a non-factor when he's drafted. He will put on a show at his pro day. What if he doesn't, Lawrence?
Well,
what if he doesn't?
Well, Drew has some experience with guys not putting on a show at their pro day.
Trying to think. I'm thinking of Terrell Owens doing push-ups in the front yard. Oh, Jalen Carter, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did not put on a show.
He did not put on a show, which is why I'm a fan of Watch the Tape. But if you watch the tape of Abdul Carter, you'll see a guy who's got the type of lean that Robert Quinn has, where it looks like he's playing on the side of his shoe when he bends around the corner.
But you brought me to Jalen Carter. I mean, NFL draft history is littered with dudes who are number one overall caliber and fall sometimes to 10 where the Bears are. Jalen Carter fell to exactly 10. Warren Sapp fell to 12 because people were worried about pot. Randy Moss fell to 21.
Which is still
ridiculous. It's insane. So, like, It happens. Terrell Suggs, not a pot guy, but thought to be a top four pick, ran a 40 that was a little slow, and they're like, nah, and he went 10th to the Ravens.
Alex Brown went in the fourth round when he probably should have gone in at least the second.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pot thing, too. And it's like, really?
But the guy we're talking about, Trey Smith, he went in the sixth round instead of the first because of blood clots.
I mean, that's a very serious...
I know.
I mean, Wimby's career could theoretically be over because of blood clots. I mean, look what happened with Chris Bosh.
I'm not here to minimize blood
clots. No, I'm just saying, like, that situation is one where a medical red flag is something that the NFL front offices are like,
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Hey, the other stuff, though.
Yeah, pot and soft tissues. This is obviously...
And with Jalen Carter, there was a serious crime was involved.
And when Lawrence was gone, you spent weeks minimizing blood clots. And we tried to get you to stop.
Yeah.
Weeks, Lawrence.
Yeah, but that was...
Every day he wanted the lead to be, you know what? Not so sure about these blood clots that they're talking about.
Blood clot.
And I had a laser. I was trying to actively minimize blood clots while on the show.
Well, that's a good thing.
Funny how that changed.
Yeah. Well, you know, but like, it happens. Why can't I dream of this happening?
I think that you can. I think that the point that you made about Jalen Carter is an excellent one. Granted, there was a serious crime that was involved, and there were loss of life that was involved when it came to Jalen Carter.
Mm.
But yeah. Here's the problem, though.
Okay.
The problem is there's no quarterbacks outside of the other two. And ordinarily, you would have a bumping down of a prospect because quarterbacks are coming up. Guys that shouldn't be there end up taking, and you're like, wait. Because if you look, that's what happened with Jalen Carter, where you start going, oh, that's why when people say, well, there are eight teams you passed on. Right. Four of them needed quarterbacks, so they weren't going to take him. So you can't just – you need to look – like go to the next level down in that conversation about it.
Yeah.
And I wish there were more quarterbacks that were worthy.
I understand.
But if I'm sitting there at number three – and I go, all right, we've had the run on quarterbacks where teams got excited and they traded up to get Cam Ward and they traded up to get Shedeur Sanders. And now you go,
I'll take Travis Hunter.
Okay,
or
great.
I'll take Abdul Carter.
Or I'll take Abdul Carter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
I know. No, you need quarterbacks to jump up ideally in a year like this when you don't need one and you are the Bears.
I think it's an excellent dream.
I dream of him falling. I dream of Abdul Carter getting there, and Genie, RIP Bill Melton, a great man, but in so many ways. But I dream of Abdul Carter dropping down, and I don't know that there's another edge that you're like, let me run to the podium at 10 and say it. I don't know that that guy is here. And I don't know. If Mason Graham's gone, I don't think there's a three-tech or an interior D lineman that you run to the podium at 10. I think you end up doing something which is going to feel unsexy but will be satisfying.
Move down?
Possibly move down, or take one of these tackles that you might play at guard for a year while you're figuring out if you want to invest in Braxton or not, and then that guy can move back outside. Like, Will Campbell might be one of those guys in a Skoronski mold whose arms will push him inside for a year. Or there's other guys, the Alabama guy. Like, there are guys who are tackles who make more sense to possibly play inside for a year while you put your line together. And that would be as unsexy as it gets to me. A tackle that you move into guard.
But that's okay. Like, you don't have
to. You need stuff. You need stuff.
Here, we get caught up in talking about the sexy. Position group alone makes this a non-sexy draft for the Bears. This makes it a non-sexy offseason for the Bears. And we all should probably get used to the idea of having a good offensive and defensive line is sexy.
Yeah.
So I'm good with them. Like we were saying, you and I are going to be happy here the day after the draft.
If they get an offensive lineman.
Yes. Yes. We're not going to be like, oh, well, that's silly.
No, I'd be psyched. I'd be down with it. They need to invest in the line. On both sides, Abdul and Mason Graham are the two guys I wish would fall to 10. Then I don't think either of them will.
Yeah, that's sad. Why don't we talk about the center position, though?
Let's do that. As the reigning center on the Scores staff.
Oh, that's right.
Well,
that's not true, though.
No, Olin Krutz is still a better center than me?
Yes.
Pat Manley?
Yes.
Even though he's just a long snapper?
He was a really highly regarded high school and college offensive lineman.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So they're both better.
As the third ranking center on the Scores air staff.
Well, I mean, now, you know, if we went back, we probably have to ask Jay Zawoski or Rick Camp about their high school careers.
How dare you? You don't think I can outplay those guys?
No, I don't.
Oh, man.
Didn't Jay sack Donovan McNabb twice or something like that?
He brought him down once behind the line. I don't think it was a sack.
I mean, put Ant Heron on the field. I bet he's a better center than you
man,
right now.
What is this?
Good point.
The athletic dismissal of Matt Spiegel, especially by Shane Reardon, continues unabated. There was a moment in the pre-show that I'm not going to let that go.
Well, let me tell you something.
What?
Shane's an excellent athlete.
I know.
I might be a better center than you.
Oh, man. I'm going home.
He's not going home.
Oklahoma drill right now.
In the hallway. Let's do it.
Connor, right. Film it. Let's go.
Well, Tanny and I will be back after this, after these two guys knock themselves out on the Score.